Project Tribute Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to aiding our nation's first responders. Our vision and mission is to enhance the life-saving capabilities of our first responders through raising awareness and funding for the life-saving work that they do. Our goal with the podcast is to be an educational avenue and a method for our heroes to express themselves. In the podcast, we will discuss various tough subjects. Some of the subjects may be uncomfortable or controversial. Our guests have the right to share their thoughts and ideas, and for our listeners to hear the unedited words of our guests. The Foundation's role is to showcase a diverse array of thoughts and opinions within the first responder community. If you hear something that you do not agree with, please consider reaching out to us at projecttributefoundation@gmail.com and join our podcast. If you're a first responder and you would like to share your story, we truly would love to hear from you and learn from your experiences. Please enjoy this week's show, and as always, like, comment, and share to help us grow. You can find more information at www.projecttribute.com. Thanks, and have a great one. Guys, so John Becklock, Project Tribute. So we've got a couple guests here. So Jared, if you will, introduce yourself and let's introduce our guest.
We should know me.
Okay.
I'm Jared.
Okay, so we have Jared and
this is Catherine Bisseth.
Yes.
Catherine is, I call her Kat.
That works.
Used to work with me in Lawrence, Kansas, on the fire department there. She actually also bought my house.
Yep.
Hopefully she's taking care of it.
I did. I told him I couldn't buy it, and then I bought it.
I spent a lot of money on that gardening, and I drove by a while ago, and it was not. It didn't look like I left it. It made me sad.
Are you really sassing her for her house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay. So you told me that she bought your house. Did you all know each other, or was this just dumb luck?
No. Well, so she put an offer in on it, and I didn't know who it was.
I walked in to do the
house. She was like, hey, I think I'm going to buy your house because our pictures are up on the wall and stuff. Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, I mean, it's for sale.
Yep.
She's like, yeah, I think I'm going to buy it. I was like, cool.
Yep. Yeah, it's a nice house. It's great. Love it. Good neighborhood.
So you all worked together and then just by dumb luck found his house or?
Yes. The different crews, different shifts, but I mentioned buying a house. He said my house is for sale, and I was like, I'm sure I can't buy your house. And then I told you that.
Yeah, I mean,
my realtor had like 7 houses picked out, didn't like any of them, didn't think I was going to find anything that day. Walked into his house, and I was like, oh, this is wonderful. And I started looking at the pictures, and I was like, Jared?
I done a lot of work on the house.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, what are the chances of, that's not a small town. So, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So.
Well, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
so one of the things that if you're listening, we're going to change the format. And so you and I kind of talked about that. Mm-hmm. Jared and I talked about it. And even Laura, Jared's wife, approved this, that we're going to take and, right?
Oh, man.
Right?
Oh,
she man. Did. Like, that's how you know it's a solid idea. If Laura gives the blessing, it's like, oh, man.
Uh-huh.
So what we're going to do is you guys are going to spend today just talking about a whole bunch of different subjects, but we're going to cut that into 15-minute segments or 15-ish, mm-hmm. And then broadcast that every Friday. Instead of doing a big 1-hour show, it's good stuff, but it's just hard to listen to. I mean, I know that it would take me days to get through one of our podcasts versus now we can just do a little 15-minute segment and put them out. So I'll start you guys off and then I'll step out. We're open today. So if you guys hear a bing in the background, that's a guest coming in through our office. So this is your first time coming here. So what do you think?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Jared mentioned that you guys had just kind of finished, I think, recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You just had our grand opening
last month or 2 months ago. Yeah. So we set up the office. We had a donor that donated a whole bunch of stuff, and then they took all the stuff back. And then I put everything back in here, and it fit a lot better. And so now the space is dedicated to first responders, and it looks that way this time. So I'm happy with the second go around. I'm happy that we got a chance to redo. But it's kind of the thought of this space is exactly what you all are going to do kind of after I step out, and some of it while we're here is mental health is a big deal. And so Jared and Justin Miller is, he is a professional firefighter with Bartlesville Fire, but then he also is the chief of Dewey Volunteer Fire.
Okay.
And so Justin at that time wanted to, he wanted to do podcasting as well. And so that's where we spent a lot of time, and through two different donors, the Bartlesville Community Foundation and Jana and Bruce Colgate, they donated roughly about $5,000 to pay for all the cameras and all the gear.
Awesome.
So you are our first official guest in this space. Jared and I have talked in this space, and then that camera actually behind you is what we started on, that one around the ring light.
Oh,
that's like, if you look at all the other shows, that's what we filmed on.
Sweet.
We had when Jared talked with Coop, it was a single microphone between them. Now we have four microphones, and we're still kind of figuring all this stuff out and the technology and how to maximize it. I just figured out how to take the echo out of the microphones today, as a matter of fact. So tell us a little bit about you're a first responder, but tell us about your history. Like, how many years, what have you done? Whatever you want to share about your time as a first responder.
Yes. I started out at Johnson County Community College in their EMR program. They require that you do EMR before EMT. So EMR, which is emergency medical responder, is basically just the beginning of EMT, and then went to EMT and went straight through to their paramedic program. Graduated in 2016, started out at AMR in Independence for a little bit, and then
Missouri.
Yes, Missouri. And then
Independence, Missouri.
Yes.
That's the place.
Oh yeah, it's a place.
It's basically a suburb of Kansas City.
Okay, that's confusing.
It's quite the place.
Okay, got it. Sorry.
That's where I worked at the casino as an EMT. It was my first EMT job.
Finish your story, and we're gonna get to that.
What the hell? I didn't know that either.
Okay, yeah.
And then April, so right after graduating, April 2017, got hired in Lawrence. Went through their fire academy. Left Lawrence in September or August of 2020, took a break, moved to Guatemala because I have some connections down there. So taught English at a school.
Connections.
They're legal. And then moved
legal
back.
Here or legal in
legal
Guatemala?
There. Legal in both places.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Yep. And then came back in September of 2021. And now I'm back as a paramedic.
So
Kansas.
Total time as a paramedic, then roughly 4 years, 5 years, or
Coming up on five at the end of this year, or coming up on six.
So let's math this out real
quick. Okay. All of 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021.
That's five.
Yeah. But I took a break in there, but
you were still a medic.
Licensed. Then coming up on six.
Did you do anything in Guatemala with your training?
I wanted to. But I'm not fluent in Spanish.
Okay.
And so their volunteer fire department was kind of like,
Yeah, we can't use you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that makes sense.
So didn't really do much with that.
So, okay. We got to get back to the casino.
No. Okay. So I was my first actual like paid EMT job. So I started out as a volunteer. The guy that I live with was one of my good friends. His uncle, I think, ran, like, he was a medic as well, and he ran the security EMT part of the casino, because you're one and the same. So like, I'd be checking IDs at the front door and trying to get all the fake ones, because they'd give you like $100 if you caught a fake ID or whatever. And then when there was a medical call, they would page me out and I'd go grab my bag and run down and do whatever I gotta do.
So you would be security, hurt them, and then help them afterwards?
No, I didn't hurt anybody. Oh, like, I never tackled anybody.
Well, I mean, that's what I think. Like, when you're security at a casino, things get a little rowdy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
my little 5'9" self could.
I mean, I just pictured you came out of the womb as this.
I'm pretty feisty,
beautiful specimen of man. So
my hair is excellent.
It's beautiful. I'm bald at this point. Like, it's done.
And we're the same age.
You asshole. Bazinga. Okay, so back to you. Wait, hold on. So total jobs that so far that Jared has mentioned, we have like Chippendale stripper, hair model,
carpenter,
plumber, welder, firefighter, EMS.
KU Tumblr.
Yeah, Tumblr. That's true. That's true. KU Tumblr. You know, restaurateur.
Instagram
what
handle,
else? What else
right?
am I missing? Like professional bowler? Like what? God, you've done a lot.
Let's stop talking about this.
Okay.
I'm decent at a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Just because I like being able to do
we're not worthy
for myself.
It's simple as that. We're not worthy. Okay, so back to you.
We're not worthy.
Camera one, camera two. God, Wayne's World just is epic. Okay, so one of the questions I like to ask all first responders is what is your preferred method or your most memorable of somebody telling you thank you? You know, you're either on shift, off shift, somebody recognizes your first responder. How do you prefer somebody to say thank you? And what's mm-hmm. the way that it's something that somebody's done that stood out to you?
Yeah. I struggled with that. And I listened to a few of the podcasts. And so I remember the first time I heard you asking that. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
No, that actually makes me very uncomfortable. Please don't come up to me.
That's fair, though. Which, like, I wouldn't like that. People,
yeah.
Because in my day job, people are all the time saying, thank you so much. I'm like, man, I didn't do it. I have a whole team of people that did it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, so I feel like I have learned over the years to not be so uncomfortable with it.
Okay.
I had to learn to mm-hmm. be like, no, like, that's great. You can come say thank you, you know. Everybody appreciates being thanked, but, and I think kind of what Jared and I will get into is just I had a lot of issues and bitterness towards the job in general. So sure. when people were like, hey, thank you, my first thought was like, thank you. Like, this job has wrecked me. So right. like, I don't know why, you know, I don't want to be thanked for it, but I still love it. So,
well, for me, I mean, and this just happened the other day. I mean, I knew the guy looked familiar. And he kind of stared at me for a little while and he was like, have you worked like fire department or EMS or something? I was like, yeah. He goes, you're the one that ran my son. He was hit by a car. Mm. He was okay. But he was like, you know, I just, you know, you guys were my hero that day. You know, thank you so much. And it's, I appreciate it, but it's like, I mean, I'm doing my job.
Right.
I'm not doing it to right. get recognition. I'm not doing it to, you know, have people, you know.
Yeah. I did have a guy, an older gentleman, come to my station once, and that meant a lot just because he had to go to other stations to kind of like find me. It wasn't weird at all. He's like a grandpa, basically. But I didn't think he would remember anything from that call, which is funny looking back because I was just kind of talking freely because I thought he was out of it. But he actually remembered quite a bit. So just to
lesson there.
Tip out there. Yeah. Luckily, I didn't say anything horrible. But yeah, he came into the station and just said, I just wanted to thank you. And can I give you a hug? And I was like, sure. Which normally I'd be like, no. But he was the sweetest
right.
old little that's like cool. guy. So
and I would agree that's,
I mean,
somewhat of an exception. Like, you know, we run a cardiac arrest and, you know, we do our job well and they end up making it. It is very cool to
yes.
see those people.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times they'll come and visit, you know, and thank,
yeah,
you know, the ones that were there. And that's a cool experience.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't happen all that often, but it is cool when it does happen.
Is it also hard on the other side of it, though?
Like on my side?
So if, because you're going to get thanked whether they survived or not.
Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, yes, you're also going to get griped at, but I mean, there's going to be a time where somebody's going to tell you thank you, even if it
right.
was a bad outcome.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a time where the thank you still stings?
And it's hard to even admit this, but I was told this when I started medical school. I tell my EMT students the same thing. You, and I say this in a way that I'll have to explain, but as a first responder, especially, you know, EMT, medic, you will kill somebody someday.
Mm-hmm.
It will happen. It might not be your direct fault, but, you know, a lot of times we do what we're trained to do, and it's hard to see all the little things, you know, when something's going on. And so if we don't end up catching something and then we, you know, after the call, mm-hmm. especially if it's a severe call, we always sit down and talk about it. And, you know, you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish, you know, we should have done this. But that's a learning experience. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what we do. I mean, on the job training, you know, we go yeah. through school, but it is not.
I think that some
train you for that.
What people don't understand, though, like there was an officer in the stabbing that they reviewed the body cameras, and he in the camera, I guess there was somebody that they could faintly see underneath the car, and that was one of the victims that passed. And so his stance was, I should have seen them. I missed them because I saw them in the blur of the camera. I mean, meanwhile, the scene just sounded absolutely chaotic.
Right. And that's, and
there's no way that it doesn't seem like there's any way he could have seen that. But that's the life of second guessing that's something that you all live more than people recognize.
Right. And we get a lot of that more now just because of all the social. I mean, everybody, I mean, I've had to scream at people on scenes because they've got their cameras out recording stuff.
Oh, man.
And, with everybody's got a cell phone, you know, and even that's part of our curriculum for EMT class is that social media is part of the curriculum because, I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of scene it is. There will be somebody there that will probably have their phone out.
Yeah.
So it's documentation, it's proof. So you have to make sure that, you know, and it's not like nothing has changed for us, right? It is, we're put on the spot a little bit more. I mean, we're still going to do the exact same thing. It really hadn't changed what we're going to do to treat a patient, but, you know, it's definitely changed what we do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's when I talk with my staff, even just in food service, it's, you need to realize that at any point, can somebody take a photo and what does that photo look like of your station, of your, you know, anything. And that's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
It's different. So, so the next question I ask everybody is what don't you want to be asked? And the commonality is I don't want you to ask about my toughest call.
Yeah.
But is that the case for you? What are off limits to the public to you?
It's that for me. Yeah. Like, what's the worst thing you've seen?
She's the first girl to say that.
She is. Yep.
Yeah. I listened to that podcast.
I mean, we have a pretty small sample size,
yes,
right?
It's true. I mean, if somebody asked me that, some random stranger, which hasn't actually happened yet that I recall, I don't think I would come out and be like, well, here, you want to know? Like, I'll tell you. If I have a relationship with the person, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. I can have a little more grace. And if we have the understanding that I can say like, hey, man, you know me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you know.
Yeah.
Don't ask that.
Yeah.
I've seen some shit and it's not good. So
and that's leave it at that. Kind of with the podcast, that's a question I'll never ask. I think it, just over the lifetime, it's going to come out. And but that's on behalf of the first responder. Like Jared's kind of shared his, but top level. And so that's kind of the big thing to me is that's off limits.
Yeah.
I sat in a room and there was a whole bunch of people and several officers. And one of the officers started talking about a shooting and pointed out to the officer that was part of the shooting of, you know, just kind of not glorified, but just talking about it. And I was so pissed at that moment because we didn't get permission from the one that was, you know, the one that actually pulled the trigger. We didn't get their permission to talk about this. This was just off the cuff in front of a group, in front of the public.
Yeah.
And even internally, officers don't understand if they've not done it. I think medics understand because at some point, every medic's going to lose somebody, it feels like. But in the shooting world, in the police world, at least,
right,
not everybody. And so that's even first responders are not as delicate around those things from what I've noticed.
Yeah. The other thing I'd say, and it's not really a direct question, but anything that makes a first responder feel like they need to justify, like, their pay or their job or what they do. Having people indicate that I get paid to sit in a chair when I was a firefighter. Mm. And like the truth is, sometimes I did sit in the chair at AMR. We post in our ambulances. And so yesterday,
I could not do that.
I know there's pros and cons to both.
What is posting in your ambulance?
So at AMR, they just call it like you go to your post. So we have post 2, 6, 5, 8.
They basically sit in their truck and like a quick trip for 12 hours and they run their calls from their out. I mean, their home is the ambulance.
So
that's to draw the response time down.
Yeah. Well, yes. And if you have a truck at like 2 and 6 and 8 and then 2 goes, you're going to move 6 to 2.
Yeah. And the radius of I
can't remember what they call
Tulsa's
it.
Is the same way.
That's got to suck.
You're creating full coverage.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't put them in places. I mean, it's strategic. They put the medic units in places that they know historically have high call volumes.
So. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. You see police officers in Bartlesville dealing with more, you know, medical calls because they're patrolling versus the ambulance gets there first.
Well, even in Lawrence on the fire department, if we knew one of the stations that was across town was going to be out of service on a call for a while,
yeah,
we would probably take, you know, one of the other units from a station that had more in that confined area to put them out there just for coverage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So they would. So you'd any, be sitting somewhere, and they would come up to you and just start grilling you on why you're just sitting here.
Yeah, that hasn't happened to me yet, but just questions or even comments, not so much direct questions that just indicate like, oh man, you get to, you know, sit here. That's cool. And it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I got paid yesterday. And I think for 4 hours, you know, I wasn't doing anything out of a 12-hour shift, but sure. Like, yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, that day I didn't do anything, but the day before that I ran a really crappy call. So like I got paid to do what I went to school for and do my job. And yeah. So
you listen to the past podcast, mm-hmm. You listen to the Tulsa Women on Fire one.
Yeah.
So they were talking about a lot of them, you know, so all of them were firefighters and I forgot the role. I think one was like the actual driver. And one of them had,
they call that a driver.
In Tulsa? Wait.
An engineer.
Okay, I'm like, no, they don't. I can't tell.
Sorry, the engineer. But she had somebody come up to her and they were shocked that they thought her role was just to be cooking at the firehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Has something like that happened to you?
You know, when I was I did the Explorers program out in Belton, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Loved those guys. It was great. And they kind of got me into the first responder world. I had someone make a comment while we were walking down the street doing inspections about like, oh my, you know, must be nice to have a girl around, kind of something like that. Something super inappropriate. And the sure. guys were just like, and I don't even know, 17. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I think one of them mentioned on that episode, the elderly people. So it's definitely, especially EMS, not so much, but when you get fire and EMS and I'd show up. And, you know, I had one guy look at me, he goes, you're a girl. Just real shocked. And I'm like, yep, that's me. I'm a girl. Or just kind of, I had a lady go on and on about how I was dressed the same as the guys. She was like, no, but like, why are you wearing those pants? Also, like the guys are, why do you have those pants? Because like, I do the same job, right. You know,
it's
the same job. So I got some of that, but. And it seems to happen in clusters. So in like one day, I'd have like four people say something. And so I'd be really annoyed by the end of the day. I'm like, why? And well, then it wouldn't happen for a long time. But
I don't want to offend anybody by this, but I like when that happens because, you know, we know that, I mean, you kind of have to be a specific type of person, not even male, not even talking male, female when it comes to what we do.
Right.
And most of the females that are in the service are very strong individuals. And so when somebody says something like that, you know, most of their crew are probably going to be guys. And so we're just like,
sitting back and watch. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, you're right though. Like that's the all the women that I've come across, all of them have been just impressive people.
Yeah.
I mean, they hold their own. They have earned their spot tooth and nail. I have not come across one that, I mean, those are the more terrifying interviews for me because it's definitely
my ass.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the, you know, I want to make sure that I fully get their story.
Yeah.
But they're also definitely dominant. I mean, that Tulsa Women on Fire, those are some ladies that are doing things.
Well, and they have the same testing requirements. They do the exact same. There's no difference in testing. There's no difference in skill level. I mean, we are just bodies.
Yeah. So,
it sounds far away.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
I got.
Okay.
So creepy. Most of the time, I think what would happen and would be most frustrating as far as being a female was just being hit on by patients. So it was kind of like, you can't do much with that. I am in the back of an ambulance a lot of times with just a guy. And
do you
so
guys
it's
have
like,
cameras in your medic units?
Yeah.
Ooh, I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's almost a liability. I mean, I think there should be cameras in the back, not only to keep the, you know, medics and EMTs accountable, but if anything happens, it's your word against theirs.
Yeah.
And let's say I have to transport a 14, 15-year-old girl, mm-hmm. which I have numerous times, you know, and their parent, let's say their parents aren't there, right? But I've gotten permission from their parents to take them to the hospital, or, you know, I've gotten implied consent just based on what the scenario is. Yeah. But there's nothing besides my word against theirs. So typically what I'll do if that case comes up is I'll try to have like a police officer or somebody else riding the back with me, mm-hmm. or get a female EMT there, right. You know, sit there with me or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
that's smart.
Yeah. I never thought about a camera being, I mean, I just assumed you couldn't. I mean, it just, but
well, typically they're above. So when we, you've seen the back of an ambulance, yeah. right? Well, we're the patient care, whoever's, you know, in charge of patient care is sitting in what we call a captain's chair, and they're facing backwards. So we're facing the patient. The patient is sitting facing the back, they're riding backwards as well. So the cameras are typically put behind the medic, and they can see everything that's going on, but you don't have like their face. Because it's almost a HIPAA violation if you can see faces and stuff like that. Right. So that's how they kind of get around that. There are sometimes other cameras that are pointing towards just to mm-hmm. see different things, but those aren't, I don't see those very often.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the, you know, to wrap up just kind of my section of this, I did learn last night that we've actually had our fifth person that is alive because of the tourniquets that we've done.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So I wanted to kind of share that real quick before I step out and then let you guys continue with your podcast. But so I guess it actually was one of the first tourniquets we put out. The officer told me about it last night, but it happened last year. And so
it was like one of the first ones.
And so I've been trying to find the photo of when we handed that officer the tourniquets, and I don't know, because they spent time with the county sheriff as well as Bartlesville police. And so I don't know, I'm trying to figure out which group.
Can you say in what context it was used?
Yeah. So what he shared was that it was a intoxicated person that they broke a window and it severed their artery. And I guess so he applied the tourniquet, and I mean, he was sharing that that's the most blood. That was the second most blood that he's ever seen. And they applied the tourniquet and then got them, I think, to Jane Phillips. And then they were life flighted to Tulsa. And the lady ended up having to have surgery to repair the artery. So it was definitely, and then.
So it was here in town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. It
I think
was,
I know the call you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't on it, but I'm pretty sure I know the call you're talking about.
So do you know what month, roughly?
Okay.
Not this question.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Did you eat?
I ate like
I watched you have breakfast.
Biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy.
What'd you put on your
hash browns?
Tater tots and hot sauce.
Yeah. So I now have ketchup in the fridge because I got tired of running out of ketchup packets.
I don't take your ketchup packets. I did see all the popsicles though.
I heard the story about bomb pops, but we can't. Let me wrap up here, and then we'll talk about your bomb pop story. I'm curious.
No.
No. Okay. No, not on the podcast.
Like, okay.
Offline.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Yeah.
So the other really cool thing, Friday we delivered 25 kits to the Tulsa Airport Police. Thanks. And Monday they used one of the kits. So I guess a lady fell down the escalator and received real bad cuts on her leg. So that one, we're not going to call life saving. It was just, they used the ETD dressing. I guess the big bandage, mm-hmm. and waited for medical service.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a tourniquet, but it.
Yeah, I mean, I asked him, was this life saving? He's like, no, but this was a massive blood loss.
Yeah, right, cool. But they had it because we donated it.
Right. So, awesome. So that's kind of just an appearance. I mean, Bartlesville police saved the life, but then it was through the.
We need like a star explosion emoji on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you could do that.
A little razzle dazzle. Well, and you have the soundboard too. I got to figure that one out.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, oh yeah. Like, we can do like clapping and all that stuff.
Dangerous.
Yes. There is.
What's this button do?
Don't do it. Nope. So there's way more technology here than I understand. So that's kind of the big thing. Yeah. Everything we do is putting towards life saving. So when you talk in the nonprofit world, I'm not on camera. Haha. So when you're talking to the nonprofit,
trying to get
world,
you on there,
I know. One of the cool things to me is that we started with $10,000 and making sure that we're always putting the money right back.
Yeah.
So our profit as of last month was $400 for the year. So that means like we are staying right at nonprofit.
That's awesome.
So that's important to me. And kind of last night when we were doing the event, I was telling everybody that at no point has anyone received a reimbursement check. No one's received any pay. Mm-hmm. It's just not. We're not there yet. Yeah. And if we do, it'll come out of the shirt.
Comfortable.
Jared's sending you away with quite a few, isn't he?
Yeah.
Two.
That's it. We gotta get you more shirts.
I'm buying.
Now I'm pretty, you know, the coffee mug, like they're good for soup. They're good for, you know, but we'll send you home with some stuff.
Sweet. Appreciate
I have a
it.
Design addition to these. So if we can get like a little something that it can fit in your car cup holder.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Or, I don't know. That's yeah. a bad that's
we could just look at a different cup.
I got everybody. Good luck.
He didn't sleep last night.
No kidding. I did a little bit.
You don't have to leave. I might need help managing this situation.
Yeah, I'll be on the other side.
It'll be fine.
Working on the website.
Okay, cool.
I also did do some changes to the website. I don't know if you noticed that or not. You'll have to, if you'll hit refresh at the top left. Yep. And then scroll up. See how it's the very first tab to shop now? Because people kept missing how to shop. And then if you'll scroll down, you'll see our statistics. I'll update those here in just a little bit. That's if you're clicking, you're not scrolling down. No, don't do that. You're going to.
Okay, fine.
You'll break it.
I'll do it. I was going to share it, but.
No, it's okay.
Go to the website, projecttribute.com.
There you go. All right. So one question I do want to ask, and I'm going to step off.
Okay.
When you said, yep, I want to do podcasting. For sure, there was something, some message that you wanted general public to hear about your experience beyond just what you and Jared are going to talk about later.
Yeah.
Is there anything that me as a civilian, you wish that I would know about your role as a first responder?
It's a big question.
It is a big question. And you can go, if you want to, write down, you guys talk about it later. That's fine.
No, I mean, my first thought is just that it's busiest city in the States, or if I'm way out rural, picking people up and having to transport them an hour, which I feel like you maybe have more of the rule now. Rural. Just don't make rural. Fun of me.
I can't say that word.
More of the rural.
Isolated.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't personally, well, kind of did that well, out can, in the I county,
can,
but.
I can talk about this, you know, when you and I just talk, but
yeah.
There's a reason we're in rural communities. Yes.
Yes. So. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's just hard. And even if you're not at a super busy station or a busy service, whatever the word that has escaped me is, I feel like the responsibility and kind of the public expectation that comes with being a first responder is enough to be, to be hard, to be a stressful job, even if you're not running a ton of calls.
Yeah. And you're in the, I don't want to say spotlight because that's not the right word, but you're in the crosshairs, I guess, would be kind of a, if you had a combination of being on a pedestal and crosshairs.
Yeah.
Well, and the crazier thing is
high expectations.
Yeah.
As we've talked with like Colby and Hominy and all, I mean, they're picking up their neighbors. Like they know
these people.
Yes.
Which is and a so whole other deal in itself.
Yeah. I mean, so the small towns that there's a different level of trauma in those than the bigger towns. The bigger towns deal with probably a higher volume, but the smaller towns deal with the more personal volume.
Yeah.
And so that's something that's interesting. Okay. So we're going to wrap up for this week. And kind of what's to be expected? I mean, what do you guys, what are some top topics that the listeners are going to hear over this conversation?
I mean, so, you know, my goal with this podcast from the very beginning has been talking about mental health, right? So, I mean, I've been through my own struggles, had my own experiences with different things that, I mean, you and I are going to share a couple of stories that go along with each other pretty close because we're on the same departments. We had the same, and I've talked about, you know, a lot of the stuff that happened in Lawrence before, but, I think mental health will be a big part of what, Kat and I are going to talk about
for sure.
Her own struggles, my struggles. And I think the biggest thing, and I had the same conversation with my EMT class the other night. I actually broke down and couldn't speak, kind of had tears rolling down my eyes. But, you know, it's, I wish that I had had that conversation when I started. Not that it would have like, nothing I can say can prepare these people to see what you're going to see, but just knowing I need to really stay on top of my own mental health, look out for the people that I'm working with. You know, I wish that conversation would have been brought up because it would have made it more aware and it would have normalized it, which is what I'm trying to do with the podcast is normalize talking about mental health issues, which is no different in my opinion than, you know, being overweight, diabetes, whatever. I mean, it's the same, it's a health problem,
right?
The mental part of it puts a bad stigma on it.
It does.
So, and we've talked about that, you know, we've talked about
PTSD versus PTS.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, once you put disorder on something, it's deemed as a forever, lifelong, this is what you're going to have. So not the case.
Cool. So if you guys will tune in, we're going to have, I'm going to step out. You're going to wrangle him.
No credit.
So what we're going to do is, again, we're going to be breaking these up into more segments per month. So stay tuned. And then if you're interested in helping us and helping grow our cause, www.projecttribute.com. Also, we're on Facebook, Project Tribute Foundation. And now we have TikTok. So I don't know if you're a TikToker, but Project Tribute Foundation, and then on Instagram and all that. But the our goal is just to help first responders, help you all save lives, and then also just provide the support from, you know, the podcast side of it is just that mental health resource. So thank you for volunteering. Thank you for throwing your name in the hat. And then you got your challenge coin, right?
Yes, I do.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you notice the edge?
Yes.
You so everything we do has to have a life-saving purpose. And so that's something that's important to us.
Love it.
You got a baggie with it?
Yes, I took it out.
Good. That's fine.
That's the first thing I do. I don't think I'll leave that bag.
Oh, no, this is going to be my nervous habit if I needed it.
Okay. So I'm going to leave you guys to it. So thank you all for listening. We're going to end with pin clicking.
No.
Okay.
It's going to be a fun edit.
Thank you guys. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to hearing from you next, or from talking with you next week. Yeah.
This podcast is hosted by the Project Tribute Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to aiding our first responders. Thank you for listening. For more information on our efforts, check us out at www.projecttribute.com. If you're a first responder that would like to share your story, contact us at projecttributefoundation@gmail.com. You can find us on various social media and podcast sites by searching the Project Tribute Foundation. 100% of donations are used to save lives while our retail store pays for any of our operational costs. Thank you again, and please be sure to like us, follow us, and share our foundation with your friends. Thank you, and have a great day.